You're listening to Hearth Casual, the Hearthstone podcast for tavern brawlers, dungeon runners, and everyone else enjoying the game off the ranked ladder. Well met, brawlers and specialists. See what we did there? And welcome to episode 25 of Hearth Casual. I'm Kevin Ellis, and unfortunately, Brian is a bit under the weather today. At best, he sounds like Cindergosa on a bender. Well, at least that's what he wrote in the show notes for me to say. So, and frankly, he's written a lot in our show notes, our Google Doc tonight. So he's going to be here with us. He's just here in spirit through text on a page that I'm going through as well. So it's like he's here, honestly. But anyway, I am not alone tonight, however, because you definitely don't want to just hear me ramble the whole time. Filling in for Brian, I've actually got a very special guest who is actually technically not really a casual player in the least, but that's totally okay. Not even worried about it. I've got a good friend of mine who just happens to be a Hearthstone streamer and pro manager, Maple Meow. How's it going, Maple?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad this worked out. Glad we found a time slot that works and everything, you know? Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. So I want to start off, first of all, by just getting to know you a little bit better. I mean, I know you because, you know, we've run into each other at a few of the Kansas City firesides and everything. But so that, you know, the people get to know you a bit better. What's like just a little bit of your background with the game, kind of your history behind your stream, and then just we can get into as well just how you think about Hearthstone in general, like what kind of classes and archetypes and stuff you like. So real quick, first of all, yeah, what's just your general Hearthstone background here for us?
Oh, sure. I picked up Hearthstone during Knights of the Frozen Throne, so actually kind of newer. I think I've had the game on my phone previously, just on my phone. I honestly never even downloaded it onto my computer, maybe until Knights of the Frozen Throne. I have a MacBook, and I stream on my MacBook, and I can only have one game at a time on it. It's very sad, but
at least you picked the right one, frankly.
Yeah, you're right. I started streaming that winter, and things just moved really quickly. Like, I started streaming that winter, and by the spring, I was competing, and I got picked up by a team in the spring. And so in May, I went to my first in-person tournament, DreamHack Austin, for the Grand Prix. And then I played a lot in the summer, and I played in some online cups, but now I'm kind of focusing more on stream and content creating.
Yeah, which is always cool, for sure. But yeah, so in general, too, like when you play Hearthstone, what kind of decks are you shooting for? Like what classes really speak to you as well?
Well, classes depend, but I'm almost always aggro decks. I always say that maybe because I still feel like a lot to learn, and I'm not like I wasn't playing since beta like a lot of people. So I think that I might like control decks later on, but right now I just like playing aggro. I like my games to be quick. I think my favorite preference is I tend to play a lot of decks with discover mechanics because I like that there are choices and you have to pick your own resources depending on the matchup because there are no bands and ladders. So sometimes I want some flexibility there with what cards I get to use. As for classes, historically, I've always liked the Cabal, if you remember from, I mean, I don't even remember much of Mean Streets of Gadgetzan, but I believe, I mean, they were around when I was playing the most around when Kobold started, and a lot of those cards were in there. So like Mage, Priest, and Warlock just happens to be my preferred classes.
The cloth classes in WoW.
Oh, is that what they're called? Oh,
well,
cool.
So they all wear cloth, right? They're not in mail or plate or anything. They just, I don't know, wear clothes.
I like that. I've never been fond of like the warrior and druid and shaman some reason. Yeah. I just don't, even if their decks are the best. It's just that I don't like some of the mechanics, but I like spells a lot.
Right.
And my signature for over a year now has been Spiteful Priest.
Which is cool.
I think it's making a resurgence. So we'll talk about that later in decks, but
Yeah, for sure. And actually, you know, it's kind of nice now with this new format that we're going to talk about here in a second. You're actually get to pick one of your favorite classes and specialize in it a bit, right?
Oh, I think it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be good. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, okay. And real quick, before we get into the rest of the show, I kind of feel like we have to tell the story about when you and I first met at that the fireside, right?
Was it the tournament?
No, I think it was one of the ones that was a
Right before a tournament. Go on.
Yeah. Not sure, but we were sitting down at a table, and I mean, there were only a few people there at this particular one, I think. It was at that Pawn and Pint. It was one of the ones that Sam put on. And but it was kind of funny because, like, it was you and me and then a bunch of people around this table chatting, and you had said something like, I heard there's this guy that does a podcast and comes to these sometimes. His name is Multizord or something. And I was just like, yep, I know that guy. I don't know.
I had no idea it was you.
It was funny. I don't know. I got a kick out.
Because I had heard you got a kid, and since then you didn't have time for those things anymore. So it's awesome that you actually still are around.
I squeezed it in. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Somehow. Awesome. I mean, Hearthstone's an easy game to play when you have kids, for the record. Because, like, you can just feed them a bottle and get a game in on your phone, right? So it's great. It's honestly great.
Do you not use a deck tracker? I was just like, I've recently became like, I cannot play without one anymore.
Oh, but I do. Do you have an Android by chance?
No. You can have a deck tracker?
Oh, yes.
Whoa, wow.
There's one that was, it actually feeds into HS Replay as well.
Wait, don't you have an iPad?
No. I don't even have an iPad. I just have an Android phone.
Oh, I remember you saying tablet. You played on a tablet.
I'm not that fancy.
Oh,
it's just
no.
a work phone, frankly. But no, it's called Arcane Tracker, if you're not familiar. And I checked with some sources because, you know, when you first see these things, you're like, is that okay? But I won't do a name drop here or anything. But I have it on good authority. That it's cool
awesome.
In Blizzard's eyes. So, yeah.
It's mm-hmm. it's not on iOS at all. That's not an option. That's why when I hear people playing on their phones, I'm like, how? You don't even know what's in your deck.
Yeah. Well, I did just play on my phone for a couple of years there. It's still honestly my main thing. But
played that tournament completely on my phone. I don't think I could do that now. It was like, being a recently casual player at that, when I competed in that tournament, I considered myself a casual player. And so I had no problem with just doing the whole thing on my iPhone. But now I can't do it. Like, I'd be like, no, it matters too much. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, I think I heard that that the iPhone can't run it because it has something to do with apps working together. Like, I guess the iPhone platform
doesn't
allow apps to work together in that way. I'm not sure. So, but
wow.
For those of you at home, if you have an Android, try it out. Arcane.
Yeah, I don't think that's no knowledge. So good that you mentioned
it. I'll send you a screenshot for sure. anyway, so let's get into the show real quick. The first thing we usually do is just kind of kick it off with, you know, what we've been playing lately, what we've been enjoying on the ladder elsewhere. And so, let's start off with you, Maple. What's tickling your fancy lately on the ladder there?
On the ladder, so I was running into, I usually can ladder pretty quickly, and this season has not been going quick. So I actually talked, I aired my concerns. I watched Pizza HS. I don't know if you're familiar. I'll plug in his stream. Pizza's awesome.
Heard of him.
Good player. He was testing out Spiteful Priest and Spiteful Druid and doing pretty well at the Legend ranks. But one thing to keep in mind is that I have to remind myself is rank 10 to 5 is not the same as top 100 Legend. That is different. I learned that the hard way because I tend to watch the streams that happen to be there. And it doesn't even matter because I think Deathstar watched me play some Death Rattle Hunter because it tickled my fancy for a second, but I dropped it in a second because he invented Death Rattle Hunter and we couldn't get a win at rank 8. So there's something weird there, right? It was just the matchups and he literally, the guy who invented it. But it was just, we found out at that. So I'm still trying to figure out. And I think if someone were to just be like, okay, Maple, like, what do I play from rank 10 to 5? My generic advice would be Odd Mage. I think it's decent for climbing. It's not, I don't think it's very fun. I'm curious what your opinion is. I do not think it's like fun.
Do you do the aggro version, or are you doing the slower one that runs like, oh, I don't know, what all does it run? Alexstrasza and then burns you out?
I'm not running the slow version. I'm actually running the aggro version, and I do feel it is still too slow. Its official name is like Odd Secret Mage. But what I really like, I really think Spiteful Priest and maybe Druid can be good. That might not be a popular opinion, but I think Tice played a Dragon Priest, Control Priest, Spiteful Priest, which I guess you would say is mid-range. You remember, Spiteful Priest has been around for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you played it?
I played it recently, but it and Druid back in the day. Just being able to drop the Spiteful Summoner and then pull out something huge. I mean, it got nerfed, of course, that Spiteful Summoner, but it's still manageable, right?
It is, and it's about like stalling the game until you can reach that. I played some Mechathune Warlock. It's very satisfying and fun.
Oh, I love it. I covered that
did you already talk about it?
But yeah, no, I'm a huge fan of Mechathune Warlock, especially these newer ones that are running like the Wax Elemental and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. But right now, anything that has Dustbreakers really tickles my fancies. With those, when I see those, when they have those wolves come out, I'm just waiting with my Dustbreaker. So, same with
I kind of thought that when they announced that Spellstone, I was like, okay, that's really powerful, but Dustbreaker, you know, like, so.
Yeah, but then it ended up, the priest ended up just not being good, and Zulok is actually making a resurgence. I don't know if you looked into it.
I actually have. Yeah, I'm a big fan.
I loved old school Zulok. Now I will say the tricky thing about Zulok is it looks easier than it is. I don't know if you've tried it, but
there's
a lot of decisions involved in making it that I know I'm not playing optimally, but there's a, like, it's, if you lose at Zulok, I feel like they're all you can't just throw up your hands and be like, well, I got unlucky. Unless, like, totally on Drew, there's a lot of small decisions that could impact the game. And I think I wish I were a better player to see those lines. But, yeah, that's why I like mid-range right now, especially for streaming. Because if I'm talking to people, it's really hard for me to, like, look at tiny details.
Right, when you're trying to engage with the chat and everything.
Yeah,
can see that. I still have never even tried streaming the game. One of these days, I need to just buckle down.
You should.
And do it.
It's fun. The painful thing is, look, I do watch my VODs because, you know, a tip pros player give you, which I hate, is watch your replays. And do you ever actually sit down and watch your HS replays? It's very clunky. Like, you could do that on HS replay. You can look at all your games, but it's kind of weird. I don't know if you've
seen it. It's not the same as having a VOD that you could go back to, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's hard. So I go back and watch the VODs, and I see what I've learned, at least, is one decision can, like, really impact the game that you didn't think was. And that's the hard thing, I will say, is it is the, I admire those good streamers, because you'll see, but it's like, your misplays, I think at least mine double when I'm streaming.
Oh yeah. Well, and you got the pressure of the chat too, right? Like, aren't they in there saying, oh, are you sure you want to play that four drop? And you're just sitting there going,
usually the funny thing is there's a delay so that by the time you see it, you already did it, but it's more awkward because if they disagreed with your play and you already played, I'm just like, at least they're not offended, because I'm like, sorry, like, no, I'm like, sorry guys, I didn't see your comment until, and I'm weird about, I hate roping, and that's something people say I need to be more comfortable with, but when I see that rope, I have to start moving, or I just try to avoid it. So I end up, when I stream, it ends up that by the time I make a play, it's chat has, or I just saw chat. I'm like, sorry, guys.
I'm not much of a roper either. I'll tell you what, though. So we didn't have this in the notes or anything for the show today, but Ixar made that post asking people ways that you can improve the game. Essentially, like, if it's not your main game anymore, what can bring you back? And did you see, happen to see what Hafu put? I think that's who it was.
I did not see what Hafu put.
Hafu suggested speed Hearthstone. Just straight up.
To make it faster than it already is?
Yeah.
Oh, what was her reasoning? Or was she joking?
I think that was it. And I think it would be fun, honestly. You know, rope starts burning right away. Or it's as if Nosdormu is on the board the whole time.
That would be a totally different game.
Yeah, it would. Could be good. It'd be good for people like us that don't like to rope. You know, just get in there.
Oh, but the good players do rope. I know.
It'd be a gimmicky thing. It'd be fun.
I think it could be a mode. That could be fun. But then she's an arena player. I don't know. Maybe it's a little different there. Actually, maybe it would be kind of fun in arena or something.
Yeah, either way, you know. Just a separate, it'd be like we have standard, wild, and speed. Those are the three.
That'd be funny. But would they use standard cards or wild cards?
Maybe it would rotate. I don't know. Probably just standard.
That could be a brawl.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll suggest for brawl.
You hear that, Joe? Oh, yeah. I don't really know if Joe listens to this show.
Are you talking about Joe Mag? Yeah.
Joe Mag. Oh, yeah.
I know him. Yeah.
Oh, you got to meet him as well? Or are you just...
I didn't get to meet him in person, I think.
I don't mean to rub it in, but I have.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, for me on the ladder, I've been messing around with a bunch of different decks. Like, yeah, I'd tried the Zulok and a few of these others. Odd Secret Mage, I'm kind of a fan of, just because I think I'm kind of like you, right? I like the aggro and tempo decks where, like, I'm asking the questions instead of providing the answers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like that, yeah.
I like that style of play too. And I think it just generally works pretty well in Hearthstone. But the deck I've been trying this week is a weird mix of those two styles. It's the Wall Priest. Have you been messing around with this at all yourself?
I've seen it. I don't want to play it. I feel morally against things like Xeric's cloning and the whole and enough. It's funny because Wall Priest is very like sit back and you deal with this, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You deal with this 214.
It is until a point. So it's all about like the general idea, and I'm not gonna go through the whole list or anything on this episode because we got so much more to talk about. But the whole general premise is that it's called Wall Priest because I've also heard it called Big Butt Priest because all of your minions have huge health totals. And so you get the Shadow Visions out as early as possible to ideally discover copies of, in my opinion, Divine Spirit, because that's the thing that doubles the minions' health, right?
Sure.
So if you're rocking like three or four of those puppies and you move into the late game, the big play for sure is Master Oakheart, which pulls out, of course, that's the 9-mana 5/5. Battlecry, recruit a 1, 2, and 3 attack minion. And what you're looking at mainly to pull, in my opinion anyway, Mashog Enforcer.
Uh-huh.
The big guy, 214 Taunt Divine Shield. So hard to clear anyway, but then really hard to clear when you bring it back with the Spellstone or Eternal Servitude, right? It just keeps coming back. Witchwood Grizzly, all that good stuff.
Are your games long? That's what I want to know.
So not as long as you'd think, because what you're really trying to do, other than, I mean, sometimes you do just win with the wall. Like if you're up against Odd Paladin and they don't have really anything to clear a 2/28, they just concede, you know? So that can happen. But the other win condition is definitely just getting enough Divine Spirits or enough of the combo to pull off either Inner Fire or Topsy Turvy. So Inner Fire is the one where you change the minion's attack to be equal to the health. Topsy Turvy, swap the minions' attack and health. Both are doing the same thing for you. You're turning your 64 health minion into a 64-64 or a 64-2, and then you just hit him in the face and kill him. And it's super satisfying.
Yeah.
Super satisfying to win that way, too. So, but yeah, it is a lot of fun. I mean, I know it's not exactly your style either, but
I remember seeing that Wall Priest was created to counter a certain matchup, and I'm trying to remember what it was. Do you happen to know what it was specifically created to counter something? Do you happen to know, or do you think it's fine versus most things you've encountered?
It seems to be. So I'm looking at the HS replay on it right now, and it does seem to be pretty solid against almost everything. If anything, almost every Paladin archetypes getting slammed by this.
I see.
Odd Paladin, we've got a 62% win rate. Let's see.
Well, that's why I'll plug aggro. If you guys are seeing a lot of Wall Priest, you have a chance if you try Spiteful Priest, because you can steal it with mind control.
Oh, yeah.
Which mm-hmm. I've ended up doing. You could steal it with, who's that lady who says, I could change your mind? You know, she steals him too.
Cabal Shadow Priest.
Yes. So nailed she it. Steals because it's a 214. Awesome. And with Witchwood Doctor, you can discover spells like Topsy Turvy. So when I'm going against a priest and I know they're not spiteful because I'm the only one playing it, I end up discovering my own. I've ended up just like, what I like about Spiteful Priest is I'll be like, well, I'm the Wall Priest now. I'm the Warlock now. And right. I end up just stealing their Void Daddies or stealing their 214 and putting my own spells on it. It's just really entertaining. You have to admit, it's not boring. But I mean, yeah, you're messing around. So it's not like, it's not super reliable if you don't discover those. But anyway, it's an entertaining thing to try to steal someone's big guy. It's like, it's funny.
Oh, yeah. No, I like you gotta love that stuff. And you made a really good point in that, too. And it's that if you're the only one playing a deck that's kind of off meta like that, you're like, well, I know they're not spiteful because I'm the only one. So.
Oh, yeah. Right now, priest is, I think you can make a pretty safe bet if you see a priest, it's a wall priest.
Yeah, I would think so. Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm impressed with whoever came up with it. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it just seems like the wall priest, because it seems like everyone who tries this game out early on in their lifespan, like you had to have done this too, right? Where you say to yourself, oh man, if I just get a couple divine spirits off and then inner fire, it could be crazy. I could hit him for 60 something. Like this is taking that theme and actually turning it into something that's good against a lot of the field, I think.
Well, I mean, did you ever end up playing APM Priest? And I don't know if that's the name, the Topsy Turvy APM. It's the one where you had to click super fast and
do the whole combo. I actually haven't. I've seen it executed. The boar. Yeah, right. The boar and all the stuff you have to do to get it growing. No, I haven't played it personally.
So you'd say this priest is a lot slower. There's no like APM involved.
Yeah,
correct?
Right. No APM. Oh, it's you're slower. It's easier definitely to pilot because you don't have to learn the whole combo and everything. So
I'd have to make Master Oakheart. Actually, I don't have him. I don't want him. But
he's pretty fun. He's come up in a couple decks, as you know. So.
I guess it reminds us, like, is that kind of like Hadronox Druid? Do you remember, what was it called, Big Druid? Do you remember when Oakheart pulled out, like, you know, all those,
Hadronox kind of similar. And a couple others? Yeah, I mean, it's the same kind of idea, just a big turn.
It was a wall, yeah.
Yeah, it was, for sure. And then you could kill Hadronox and bring the wall back, I don't know, infinite times.
I know.
Whatever. You know? There was a lot of that going on back then. But anyway, so moving on, though, we do have plenty more to talk about this show for sure. And so today, actually, there was some news that dropped. I do want to throw in one more thing before I get to the news, though, that I almost forgot. Forgive me, Brian. Brian did drop us a list of his own. He's included a deck list that's going to be in the show notes, too, for an Even Hunter. And he says he's included the Even Hunter, but from his experiences, Spell Hunter and just plain old Aggro Hunter are more reliable. But then he's got the code for you there as well. So, and you should know by now, listeners, and just so you know, Maple, Brian's usually the one that brings us the slightly off-meta things as well. So, but it's always, he's got something interesting up his sleeve every time. So I'm intrigued too. I got the code. I'm going to be plugging it in. As long as, Gen and Baku still exist in the game, right?
Yeah.
Do you also think they're going to take them out one day? Because they're going to be Baku? A problem in Wild. Yeah.
You think before their time is up?
Oh, I think their time will run up just because it's, well, I don't know. We'd have a whole other year with them. I don't know.
I think they're going to keep them.
Maybe. That's a whole other discussion for sure. We got more stuff to discuss. Like the competitive news, right? Yeah, so today we had finally the blog post come out from Hearthstone, and it was delayed. I'm still not really sure why, per se, but it was delayed. It was supposed to come out Tuesday, but here we are today. But no big deal. I will say, being a Heroes of the Storm fan, anytime anything weird happens with the esports, like a delay or something, I get a little worried these days. Just because of certain things that happened in the hero space. But that's neither here nor there. What we have here, though, is, in my opinion, actually a pretty solid program. Like, I'd be interested to hear what you have to say, and obviously that's going to be the bulk of this show here. But I'll start off by saying that Brian seems to be a little skeptical. When we get into talking about the specialist format, he believes, at least at this time, that as a knee-jerk reaction, that it seems like it's less exciting than Conquest. But you and I talked a little bit before the show about it, and I don't know, let's just get it all out there. So let's start off actually just talking about the program in general. So it's called Hearthstone Masters. And so, I mean, obviously, on this show, we usually don't talk about the esports angle of things, right? Because it's, you know, Hearth Casual, aimed at the casuals. But in this case, so the way they're going about it is having these Masters qualifiers as you go through, right? And so it's these online cups that you get to compete in. And there's a whole schedule of them out now. So there's going to be 30 different tournaments that are hosted through Battlefy, which...
Their whole schedule is out now? I didn't get a close look.
I don't know if it's the whole thing, but there's some stuff out. The blog post links a couple different areas. I know the first one's March 5th, and then it says, yeah, check out the full schedule here.
Like that's awesome, because I don't know if it was mentioned on the show previously or else I would have complained about it, but the problem with, because I was participating in their HCT tour, remember, but that's like not a thing anymore, but it was just called HCT tour, they were announcing these sites only 2 weeks in advance, it's like, everyone has to travel and you can't announce it 2 weeks in advance. I don't know what they were expecting. And the worst is, like, through the grapevine, you would hear about these maybe 2 months in advance, but you couldn't actually, like, nail anything down until they come out and say it. So I was always a little bit confused as to, like, well, if you already kind of knew 2 months ago, you should at least say something. Because I couldn't go to several ones that I probably could have, because I can't get a ticket on 2 weeks' notice.
Yeah, no, me either, for sure. But
that was just strange to me.
I think there were several strange things to the HCT, if I'm going to be totally honest. But and I honestly, like, I feel like this new program shores a lot of that up. And so and they say too that near the top of the blog, they talk about how, you know, I mean, this is setting up into a more sustainable, entertaining, and accessible program. I feel like it. I mean, It's all on paper now. We haven't seen any of this play out, but I feel like it might accomplish that just from what we've seen so far. So
I agree with Brian that I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, have at it.
Your first reaction is it's not as exciting, but you're more like shocked that this, you did not see that coming.
Right.
I saw it coming, but then I like shrugged it off before it happened. I was like, oh, they wouldn't do that because of, did you hear about in the winter, this happened, Just Saying. I wonder if he was in on it. Just Saying, I watched Just Saying Specialist Showdown and it was this. Did you know about that?
Same kind of format?
Yep. Yep.
That's
did it end of December, called Specialist Showdown. It was this. I don't think that's a coincidence that it same format. I remember for a second thinking, do you think, I thought it would, like, let's say it went down terribly, I think maybe Blizzard would have been like, oh, we're not going to do that, of course, but it must have done well enough that they were like, hey, people liked it. So I wasn't like, I've never heard of this format. I had heard of it. I watched it. It was, at the time, I thought it was okay, like, for, like, acute side events. Mm-hmm. So I was a little bit surprised that this is going to be the main thing. I thought it was acute, like, you know, that's a novel idea to try out. No, I did not expect it to be the full-fledged format.
Yeah, it was pretty surprising to me. I mean, I hadn't heard about the previous deal. I tried to think through what it could be because... You know, I mean, back in December, we got that little teaser that happened where they were saying, you know, the prize pool is up this year and we're going to find a new mode that better mirrors the ladder. And when I thought that, I was like, your mind goes straight to, okay, you queue one class and then what? I was honestly worried they were going to come up and be like, all right, well, it's like the ladder, best of one, go, you know, like what? But no, it's better than that. So let's get to it though. I want to finish out though, just calling out how the program works, first of all. So it all starts off with some master's qualifiers that anyone can get in on. So these are those tournaments I was talking about. Schedule's up on the page. You can check out, find a time slot that works for you and that sort of thing. So you can go through those, and in order to qualify for the just the general, essentially the Hearthstone Masters Tour tournament, you have to win one of those, just flat out win it. You're the top dog in that one. But there is yet another way to qualify, and I find this super interesting because, you know, when all this was going down, they had talked about how they were going to disincentivize the ladder from esports play. And I think they've done it a little bit, but they've either gone back on that promise or just listened to feedback and brought it back in. So here's how it goes. There's another option, and it says, for ladder devotees, each month during a master's qualifying season, we will publish the top finishers in the standard ranked play ladder. Eligible players who end the month in the top 200 will be invited to participate in a ranked ladder qualifier, and each ranked ladder qualifier follows the same rules as any of the other Masters qualifiers, except the top four finishers will earn a spot at the next Hearthstone Masters Tour event.
That's so, quite a process, I'll tell you that. It's not quite a process.
Yeah.
First, top 200 is difficult, and then on top of that, waiting top four in that... I think was your reaction, oh, casual players have a shot at this?
Well, not at the ladder as much. In my mind, if a casual player has a shot, it's through the Masters qualifiers, probably.
Yeah, just because
you could just
ladder.
Truly specialize in a class. And again, we'll detail the specialist mode here in a bit. But I feel like that's what, I mean, you'd have to win the whole thing, which can be done. I mean, make no mistake, there's a lot of really good casual players out there that just pop up. But yeah, no, the ladder deal, I mean, and honestly,
is that ladder leaderboard live now? I've never checked.
I think I heard that it was. I haven't checked.
That is pretty awesome. I'm really glad they did that because I think people kind of take pride in that. And especially if you're active on Twitter, I think it's good for your brand. I think HS Esports noticed that people still care about ladder because people on Twitter are still posting, oh, I got to top 100 legend with this deck. It's good for your brand because people will follow people who have good finishes. So,
And it affects the meta and everything, obviously. You know, someone places number one with something, everyone wants to try it for sure. Yeah. And, you know, one concern I have with it, though, is something that Brian's actually bringing up to us in the Google Doc as he follows along as we go through the show, is that, you know, one of the concerns that people had with the whole ranked system before was that, you know, on the last few days in particular, and in particular the last day, like up to the last hour, a lot of the pros really would push super hard in the ladder. I mean, not get any sleep for a couple days. Like really, really, really try to grind out those last few spots to get in the top 100, top 50, top one, however you were shooting for. And I mean, obviously 200 as a cutoff is a little bit more lenient, obviously, but it's still a grind to get to the top 200, right? So are you kind of worried that this is going to revitalize a lot of those concerns?
Yes. But actually, did you hear about the Wild Open that happened? And I think Blizzard probably deemed that as a success, which is why they're going ahead. But the Wild Open was actually only top 100 ladder finishes. Those people competed in the tournament. And I think they got no complaints from that format. And so it's pretty much the same then, except they're actually giving a lean. Maybe they think that top 200 is giving wiggle room, because previously I think they would have preferred top 100.
Sure, sure. Well, it's 200, but then you have to play in that tournament to fight your way up. So, yeah. I just think it's interesting. I'm intrigued to see how that all goes down. And I think those are going to be, if there's a way to watch those, if they get casted in any way, I'm all for it. But anyway, so the Masters Tour is the big thing, though. That's where you're trying to fight your way into doing either of these possible qualifiers. So they've laid out the schedule for these as well. And it's kind of interesting. So in Americas, you could qualify for Masters Tour events March or April, And then the tournament itself is in June. And so the first one is actually going to be Las Vegas at the Link Hotel, June 14th through 16th. And it's going to be a big one, $250,000 grand prize pool, and possibly more than that. So super interesting thing. They're going to come out with a bunch of in-game items, apparently. Later this year, they're going to introduce a limited time only esports bundle to be put in the shop. And then a portion of all sales are going to be distributed across all the base prize pools of each of the Masters Tour events. So basically, it starts at 250K, and then we get to bump it up even more by getting these bundles. So a little bit of crowdfunding. Yeah.
I will also say that Specialist format is very casual friendly, because now you don't have to make four decks. You know, I think if people, the casual player's complaint might be, I don't have enough cards. I don't have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine being even when I went to my first tournament, I had to super budget because I think we had to bring four or five decks. And that's a lot. That's a lot of cards. But right. With this sideboarding mechanic, you actually you can't waiver for more than like five cards, I believe, is it?
Yeah,
you can't
that's right.
change. Yeah. So you really are bringing one deck and like, I don't know, five, six extra cards.
Teching for either control or aggro or whatever else you're going to find.
That's super economical. Like no one can complain about affording to play card-wise, don't you agree?
Like,
how can you be like, oh, I can't afford one deck? And yet you can afford one deck.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, and you truly can specialize. So let's get into it real quick. Specialist format, as we've alluded to. So it's the same deal in that it's best of three, but the idea is that you do submit three decks from the same class. So you only get to queue the one class, but it's like you said, so you got your primary deck, and then you have your secondary and tertiary. And the primary you have to lead with. It's always going to be primary versus primary. But then after that, you can swap them around. You can bring in a secondary or a tertiary, or you can choose not to switch if you just think your primary has the best chance. But yeah, those secondary and tertiary decks can only differ up to five cards from each other. So yeah, I mean, super cool in that sense. It really is sideboarding, as you said, which you see in other card games. I mean, I'm not a big Magic guy, but if Brian were on here talking with us, he would be able to probably give us a little rundown on how it goes in that game. But yeah, it is true. You can pick a deck, learn a few good tech cards, think through how it matches up against the rest of the meta, and go. And honestly, that's how you play the ladder too. So that's part of why, like, I think this is going to be really good for casuals as well as a format, because we're already doing it, you know? I mean, this is how I know how to play the game. Frankly,
and they say on ladder, because I'm sure you've been there where you've had a bad ladder day and you're switching between four different classes trying to get something to work. That's actually like they say that you're not supposed to do that anyway. So it's actually really satisfying, I would predict, to, you know, specialize, be like, I know this deck inside out. I feel confident bringing it, because when you go to tournaments with four decks, you always have a weak link and you're trying to like not tell anyone about it. And like, you always know you're weaker at a deck at least. And I think this is awesome for casual and competitive players alike, maybe more for casual, because you can feel confident and be like, this is my thing, you know? And that's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, definitely. It's selling me. Honestly, it's kind of funny because when you and I were talking about getting you on this episode, remember I had said, you know, one thing I'd like to ask you is how to set up like a really good multi-class tournament lineup. And then they announced this and it's like, okay, yeah, I'm not going to ask her that anymore because that's old news.
Tournament strategy, you're right. But some of the thinking will carry over. I was thinking about it too. Yeah, but you're right. It's like, I guess there's no banning at all. Is that right?
No, there couldn't be. Yeah. It's just, you'd have to think through whatever's going to be happening in the meta. So an interesting point on that I thought of is I think it's on Blizzard even more now than ever with this system to have a good balance across several of the classes, because can you imagine if this format came up at the height of Patron Warrior?
Yeah.
Or like if this happened, you remember when, God, what was it? What set was it that Druid just dominated forever?
It was Knights because of Jade Idols.
Oh, well, there's Jade Druid, but right? Then there was also the UI Druid that ran like the Death Knight. And
you're right.
Mm-hmm. If this mode was out then, how many Druids would be out there, right? So my point is, I think Blizzard really has to balance across the classes to make this system work for sure.
And I'm sad about no bans. I even was pushing for bans on ladder. I think that'd be fair for like a good experience to just ban one deck. I don't think that's a problem. What do you think?
I've kind of had a love-hate relationship on that one. I could see the merits to it. I know it would mess up like queue times just a little bit. And it's possible that like if one deck was super good and you played that, you'd only be playing against people that countered it. So I don't know. I've always thought that the ladder ban idea had enough problems that I kind of was like, I'm not sure. Plus, I kind of like the idea of the ladder being something where you can run into anything that's in that card pool. So I don't know.
My worry is like, I don't know. I watched a playoffs where everyone was like shutterwalk mirroring each other. And I had to turn it off like that. I do not want to see something. It's on Blizzard to make sure that does not happen. Like if everyone just playing shutterwalk mirrors, like it's just not fun. They are now under pressure to not make anything broken because it'll bite them.
No, and that's kind of what I'm getting at is if something is broken, we'd see a lot of mirror matches in this format for sure. Like say Shutterwalk was the bee's knees, the end all be all, or Quest Priest, where they're resetting Amara Warden of Hope a million times and they just keep going back to 40 health every time. Like, yeah, we've got a hope that this mode doesn't ever hit a situation in which that's the case. And luckily, I mean, I think Blizzard's shown even more of a willingness to nerf cards, get in there and fix that kind of thing. So, I mean, if we start seeing this happening, there might be a way out. But I will say, so speaking of ways to change the ladder around, now that this has been announced, so I've been kind of harping on this show and elsewhere about a few ideas to revamp the ladder. I now desperately want them to build this mode into the ladder where you could choose to either play one-off games or you could sit down to specialist format, best of threes against people, have your primary, tertiary, secondary, I know I did those out of order, but whatever, and actually do this and have it actually apply to the same ladder. Because if you're doing that, if they somehow get all this in the game and make it workable, then you could genuinely practice for the tournament all the time.
Yeah.
Against people who are doing the same.
Yeah, I guess you couldn't practice for it right now, huh? You could.
You just have to play with a friend or scrim or...
I mean, are you talking tournament mode or is it something else?
Oh,
the meme.
We don't say the TM word. No. I mean,
that's the biggest complaint I saw today, I think.
Oh, sure. The lack of tournament mode?
Yeah. And
well, it is kind of weird that after all of that, they're calling out BattleFi and saying, oh, but it's this partner that Blizzard's worked with before. And yeah, okay, cool. But yeah, kind of dropped the ball there for sure.
I wish there was, because it took me a lot to sign up for that first tournament. It is kind of intimidating to like go.
Yeah, it is.
And it'd be different if it was in the client, but it was a big deal for me to like, you know, sign up for a tournament and like wait all day to play in it. You know, it's then if I were like more used to kind of queuing into it and just.
Yeah, that. And I mean, the other concern too that I've got, of course, is, and I do want to try one of these to feel how this all is and then report back on the show, of course. But the whole deal where like, you just pull up the BattleFi and see who you're matched against. Then you've got to friend them. And if you are capped on friends, you got to delete somebody. And
I will tell you, it is quite, it's a whole day ordeal. Like, wow.
Oh yeah.
The
friend codes, just friend coding people.
Oh no. Just like waiting for matches to start, reporting your scores, taking screenshots. It's hard to do casually. I will say that part is when I decided I wasn't a casual player, when I spent, I don't know, maybe 7 hours from start to finish when I played in like a Black Claws Challenger Cup. I think it was 7 hours. I didn't get up.
Oh, wow. You didn't get up at all?
I mean, bathroom, but otherwise, that, like, you couldn't go far because your match would start. But I'd be curious, again, that was Conquest. You know what? Right. I don't think time-wise it'll change. It's still best out of three games. So
yeah, the games would just play
actually,
out.
It would be faster, I think, because isn't it technically usually best of five?
Yeah. I think it would depend. Yeah,
it depends on the tournament. Some are...
and I mean, your only choice in between matches would be, okay, am I going primary, secondary, or tertiary? So it makes that a little bit easier, I guess. There's definitely going to be a meta of that, though. That'll be really interesting because, like, in my mind, you could bring a secondary that counters the deck that you're playing against, but they could have a tertiary that counters your counter. So, like, there could be this whole little sideboard metagame going on.
It's really fun to think about, isn't it? Yeah. I'm for anything that makes you have to understand the game deeper and try to guess what your opponent is doing. And I don't know if casual players are willing to, it might be a lot of reading. If you're not watching a lot of streams, you might have to read up a lot before entering a tournament or, you know what I mean?
I could see that. I could see people really using resources like HS Replay again to like look at win rates and, because HS Replay also lists not just kind of the most popular deck, but some other variants of it. And you could get a feel for like what kind of tech choices you could make and that kind of thing. So,
yeah, I am actually curious because I don't talk to many casual players anymore. So I've always been wondering, once I talked to one and they seem to take HS Replay Mulligan Guide and stats as gospel, would you say that's true that people are like, well, this is what HS Replay said? Or is it kind of like, oh, it's like a guide, but I don't really listen to it?
I've heard both. I mean, I kind of try to at least look at all of those things when I'm taking a deck seriously because it just gets me in the mindset. But I mean, because
there's
I
a lot of things to consider. Yeah. My friend brings up that, like, apparently if you're not a legend player, people misplay and miss mulligan, so you're seeing all their stats.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
I don't know. So that kind of messed with me because then I, you know, what Tip Jussain had given once when he made a video was always know what if you're favored or unfavored anyway, because you change your style based on you. Maybe you're more aggressive if you're unfavored because you're like, well, might as well go for it.
As if I chip away enough. Yeah. Yeah. So, and that kind of stuff you can get from HS Replay, just who's favored.
Yeah.
But you are right. I mean, it is just a data collection of how all of these matches of just the people who submit through HS Replay go. So
yeah, just keep
that
in mind.
It's already a limited pool. So.
I would like to see people like more journalism in esports. More, they're currently not a lot of people. I've done my research and there's like meta reports, but there aren't people diving deep into it to discuss. And I think I'd like to see some people start to do that.
Like a larger discussion of why certain things counter each other. And
yeah, that aren't just stats, but it's like a discussion of what's going on in the meta more in word format than numbers, I think would be interesting.
I'd be more into that. I'm not much of a math guy, so which and is it, weird that I play a math kind of
it doesn't
kind of
mean
game,
anything to me if someone's like, oh, you have a 75% chance of whatever, like, but I don't know. This doesn't mean a lot to me. But there's still that 25%. You know, someone has to explain to me, like, well, in, you know, more qualitatively, well, like, in this case, you're more likely to, you know what I mean? Yeah, I think
totally.
With this new format, that might come out a bit more.
Yeah, I feel like people lose that, too. It's that you look at the matchup and you say, okay, I've got a 75% chance to win. But, I mean, you got a 25% chance to lose just on face numerical value. So yeah, that's tying it back into the new format, totally. I mean, I could see, like, you're going to have in the esports sector two players sitting down, and you're going to say, all right, well, this deck is favored over the other one, but if they take their secondary, they counter a few things, but so-and-so's tertiary counters those. And when someone
it's
pulls
it's just quite
a
discussion,
off,
yeah.
It's going to be great, so yeah. I'm excited for sure.
I think casting will be pretty interesting too.
Well, anyway, any other last minute thoughts on the new mode or the new competitive news that have come out?
On specialists? Well, I think it went well for them. I would say that there was no huge backlash. So,
true. Because there could have been. I mean, there's a legit argument in that, like, you don't have to master as many classes to do well. I mean, that's an argument against it.
It was generally positive. Now I have people asking, what are you going to main? And that's such a weird thing to hear as a Hearthstone player. And I don't even know if you were able to process the information enough to say, I'm going to do this. I'm not there yet. I'm like, wow, there's a lot to consider. I can't. I know those pro streamers already know what they're doing. Like, a number of them don't have to ask questions. They're like, I already know what I'm doing. But for us,
them truly are specialists, like, already.
Yep, they are specialists
tens
already.
Tens of thousands of games on Hunter. You're going to pick Hunter, right?
So we're in the casual players are actually in a more exciting spot, I think, than them. I think the pro players feel locked in. If they're famous for a deck, they're not going to change it. That's what they're famous for. So we are actually at an advantage. Like, the world is our oyster. We can pick whatever. And there's no consequences. So I actually just got my Golden Mage last week. I wanted to share that.
Oh, nice. Yeah, congrats.
I could have gotten it earlier, but I didn't want to. I was like, had a crisis where I'm like, I felt the need to be a well-rounded player. And I'm so glad that doesn't have to be a thing anymore. So I was, my other classes are extremely far from being golden, which is why I started at like 490 on Jaina. I started switching. That's actually when they nerfed Tempo Mage anyway. The Mana Worm. And then I just stopped playing Mage after that out of protest. So.
But you capped it off. That's good. So you waited on 10 wins between the Mana Worm nerf and...
Yeah, I just started. Yeah, with Odd Mage, I guess. It's been that long. I was trying to concentrate on other classes, but do you have
Mage
some classes that...
Mage wasn't a bad spot in that time.
It was a bad spot, yeah.
In all fairness, yeah. So,
did you have one that you specialize in? Actually, I never asked. Or are you pretty well? You're pretty well rounded, aren't you?
I try to be well rounded, and that's the thing. Like, I mean, because if I compete in any of these cups, I'm going to take them fairly casually too. You know, I mean, I'm not going to. I don't see myself just quitting all other classes to just take up.
Really? Can you see yourself like being like, I'm all about this class and I know it inside out? Do you have any idea what class that might be, or it depends?
Actually, no. Yeah, that's what's crazy for me. And if you go to my account, so
interesting, I mean, to think about though, yeah.
It's a long story, but this is my second account that I've played. But even so, I've got my wins are spread out so much that I think some of my smaller ones are like 150, but then a lot of them are in the 200-300 range. So I really do like dance around a bunch. And so I don't know. I mean, my gut tells me Warlock or Mage. Like if you just held a gun to my head and said, pick one of the classes forever.
Yeah.
I'd probably pick one of those too, but I just don't know. Or is the smarter call in this new format to just adjust to the meta and play the best deck? I don't know. Gonna be interesting.
Pretty fun to think about. Yeah.
All right, so let us close out that segment, unless you had any other last-minute thoughts.
Nope, thanks, though.
Yep. And let's move on to... Brawl! That's right, the Brawl Breakdown. So we're finishing off with this real quick. And so this week's Brawl was actually the Season of Rosticon Week 2. So it's kind of funny, in the Hearthpwn article, it's like, it's a brand new Brawl, kind of, because, like, it is. We haven't had this exact one, but it's like last week. And in that sense, I actually like these quite a bit because, again, you get that special quest where after just playing 3 brawls, you get a special pack. So you got to at least go for that, right, Maple?
Yeah.
And you get the classic pack after a win, too. So they're just handing you stuff. I'm just saying.
I'm being influenced. The pros don't ever do their quests and they don't ever do their brawls. And it's like this weird thing that they're like, we're too cool for it. But I won't let that get.
They do like, they play like, enough don't... to have the gold to where it doesn't matter. So I get that. But, you know, I mean, hey. You know.
I did do last week's brawl and I found it quite challenging. Honestly, yeah. I don't think I got my pack. What was the right class to pick?
It was a tough week to call. I was a fan of, God, what did I land on last week? I think I got my win with Mage, but I don't think that was necessarily the best one.
Was Priest bad? Because I was confused. I picked Priest and I was
a little
like,
bad.
What's happening?
I think Rogue was the call last week because you got those stealths out, and then when the Shrine died, you got extra attack and stuff. So It
Do you
seemed like it
happen
was a
to
pretty good one.
remember if these shrines were the ones from BlizzCon? They look a little different.
They're maybe a little different, but these actually are the shrines from the Rossicon's Rumble, which is the beauty of this. And actually, the decks that are built as well are built around essentially the kinds of decks you can make with Rossicon's Rumble. So yeah, I mean, I don't
These
know
are
if
the
any of the shrines
shrines? Are you
change.
sure? They look very different. I've not seen them in standard play.
Yeah, they may look a little different, but they're the shrines. So yeah, they're the zero whatever super powerful resurrect after three turns shrines. So yeah, it's kind of fun. Like we're taking a PvE mode, the Rosticon's Rumble, and PvPing with it, playing against each other. So let me knock it out a little bit here. Describe what's going on with the classes this week, though. So again, it's a new round of shrines, new round of decks to go along with it. And we'll have a link to just a Hearthbone article that'll show you the different cards that are associated with it a little bit there too. But basically, Mage is a deck where you're freezing minions, and then if you do that, you get these Frostfire spells, which are just they're zero mana, one damage spells. But I mean, it's a zero mana spell. You can do crazy stuff with Flame Wakers and some of these others. Warlock is basically a discard warlock, but when you discard, you summon a random demon. Priest, healing enemies damages them. Paladin, when you take damage, you deal 5 damage to the enemy hero. Warrior is after summoning a dragon, other dragons cost 1 less. Hunter, actually pretty good too. Minions have overkill, cards in hand cost 1 less. So you overkill and you get an Emperor Thoroson tick. Seems good. And then we've got Druid. When a minion is summoned, give it +1/+1. And then Shaman is plus attack to minions when you equal to your overload, which I haven't tried that one out yet. But then Rogue, my favorite on this one for sure, cast spells twice. And that's on a shrine that's 0/5, which isn't the easiest one to clear either. So to give you a general idea here, Maple, so I've played a bunch of these classes now, and honestly, the ones that shine to me the most, Warlock's actually pretty good. Like you wouldn't think when you hear discard Warlock, do you just immediately think, oh, that sounds good?
Yes.
You really?
Oh,
Okay.
wait, was that raw? Yeah, Discord
No, I
Warlock
mean,
is good. Like
sure.
with Jekylluk, like that stuff was insane. Like,
That's
and
true.
all
And this
the
does have Jekylluk, and it's got Clutch Mother, Zavis, and all that good stuff. And it's
It's
actually
pretty
the
good.
crazy thing about this Warlock deck in the Brawl is that it's actually fairly well put together. Like you churn through your cards pretty well and you get the quest. Like I got the quest down on 5 and then just, played the spell and
Ooh, I might do that. Yeah.
it was pretty good. But if you want to have a little more fun with it,
So
Rogue,
you
because
recommend
cast
Warlock?
spells
Oh, Rogue.
twice, I recommend Rogue because
Ooh, I want to do
it's just
fun
that
one.
much more fun. Yeah, oh yeah, no, it's fun. And it's good because one of the things you get is actually one of the Rosticon Rumble cards that's specific to that mode. It's called the Lobstrock Taste Tester. It's a lobster in a chef's hat. And so it's a 4-mana 3/3. After you cast a spell, draw a spell from your deck, it costs 2 less. So basically, I mean, again, you're casting spells twice when your shrine is up. So you get 2 of those. And then the spells that come in are cheaper, and the deck is built in such a way where it's got things like Eviscerate. It's got Cheap Shot is probably the best one because then you just echo that a ton and then get a ton more spells that are then cheaper. You're basically it. You start to feel like you're doing a Miracle Rogue turn in that I had a turn where I could have done more actions, but the rope stopped me because I wasn't APMing fast enough to get through this. And God, the decks just has so many other things like that are well equipped for this. It's running things like I'm blanking on the name, but it was a League of Explorers card, 5-mana, no, 4-mana, 5/4 that gives you a coin, some sort of dude in a turban. I don't know, but anyway, you get the coins, and then if you cast them twice with the shrine up, it's an innervate. It's an old school innervate, 0-mana, 2-mana.
That's
So
cool.
I don't know. It's a lot of fun. Definitely, that's the one I recommend. It runs Academic Espionage, which if the
Oh, I
shrine's
like
up,
that.
goes off
Yeah.
twice.
That's
It goes
fun.
off twice. So like that's good.
The casual players are really liking that, actually.
Oh yeah, no,
Academic
it's
Espionage,
one of
yeah.
the most fun cards they've ever printed, I think. academic espionage.
Oh, yeah.
But I want to shout out one other class in this. If you do want to just get in there, get your win, go home, probably Druid, because Druid has this card. So it's called Direhorn Stomper. It's, again, one of the Rosticon specifics. And I got demolished by this today. So it's 5 mana, 4/6, Maple. Rush, overkill, summon a minion from your deck with the highest attack. And will you guess who that is?
No, Tyrantus. Wow, I love Tyrantus. Where 12, are you 12 seeing the full decks, by the way? I just got the link of like...
Oh, I'm not seeing the full decks.
How do you know what's in it?
Well, I've played a couple of them, but no, I've pulled up. So you can go through, and this is a good point for the listeners too.
Is there where I can look at all the decks?
Go to Rosticon and then Rumble Run, and then you can search by class to just see like Rumble Run specific cards.
Oh, I'm in the link to like Brawl of Champions round two.
To the Brawl, yeah. That's got at least the shrines and everything, but yeah, and that kind of took me by surprise too, is that you're using these special Rumble Run cards, but that Direhorn Stomper. It's a 5-mana rush that can get 4/6 of your stats and then 12/12 untargetable Tyrantus out. Like, it's just on turn 5. And that definitely happened to me. So, you know.
That's pretty cool. Good.
But anyway, that's the Brawl for this week. Again, if you or any of the listeners haven't gotten in to just get the 2 packs available to you.
Yeah, I will do that. Yeah. Well, yeah. That's a very well-made Brawl. Like, a lot of thought must have been put into that. Impressed.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, it's thematic too, right? Because we're nearing the point where fairly soon we're going to start getting teases about the next set and the next year and all that. But like, to close out the year with a Brawl that gets you back in that like Rosticon's Rumble mode where you're in the arena fighting against people and stuff. I like it too. There's something that it gets all my nerd buttons pushed. Okay. Yeah. It just does.
I played it multiple times at BlizzCon, and I'm happy to see it come out. It's very similar to what we saw there.
Yeah, it was. I'm happy. Sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that, I think, does it for this show for now. But again, thanks, Maple, for joining us, for sure. Filling in for Brian and all that. It's been a blast.
Great, this was fun. Thank you.
Yeah. We'll have to do it again sometime for sure. Yes. So in the meantime, between now and then, how can people find you? Like where can they find your stream? Where can they reach out to you via social media? What have you?
Yeah, my stream is twitch.tv/maplemeow. One word, first name Maple, last name Meow. I stream on the weekdays that I don't have work. I don't know if I had mentioned, but actually I love the name master's program because I'm actually in a master's program for speech pathology. So I can be like, I'm working on 2 masters, guys.
That's right. You are.
2 masters. So, with school and work, it ends up being every 1 to 2 weeks, unfortunately, right now.
Sure.
I make an event of it then, and socializing, and sometimes it's competitive. I'll put in my title if it's a serious stream or social stream. I almost always stream the last day of this season though, because people get fed up and want to just watch someone else play by the end of the night. But if you follow the stream, you'll get notifications. And then I'm also on Twitter where I post silly things and Hearthstone stuff, sometimes stream announcements, Maple Meow HS. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter there.
Sounds good. I've never asked you about the name Maple Meow. Like, is it just that you really like pancakes and cats, or what's the
there was like my cat is actually, her name is Maple, but it was actually after I named myself Maple Meow, so that's not a good answer. I've always just really liked cats, and my whole theme is cats. I usually wear the cat ears of some on stream. I think there's like, so silly, there's just like a poem in Chinese, and maple means like fall and like just like and wind at the same time, and I just thought it was cute.
No, it's cool. I'm just saying. I never heard the story.
Oh, thanks for asking. Contrary to popular belief, not from MapleStory. I never played MapleStory.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah, me either, so.
Yeah, I just got my new emote, and my cat happened to be maple-colored and has, like, a heart on her hand, just like the emote. So now she's just my mascot, and I pretend that I named it after her. So we'll just,
oh, I gotcha.
We'll just
I
say
gotcha.
That.
You're retconning it. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Multizord, and you can also find my other show, Lords of the Storm, a podcast about Heroes of the Storm. So we did the final episode last night of that show. Going to be off the air from here on out. That's episode 203, titled Thank You. I don't want to get too much into it right now. I would recommend people go back and listen to that because, I mean, you'll get a little bit of, like, our feeling on the Blizzard layoffs, and, I mean, you'll kind of get a reasoning behind why I'm quitting that show, myself and my other two co-hosts on that one. We've been at that one for 4 years, and it's been an honor. We've gotten to know, like, so many people around the community, and so many people, Maple, came out yesterday for it. Like, I was blown away by the chat and by just so many people that we knew were in there. Like, Brian was hanging out even, just checking it out. So it's bittersweet for sure. I'm half glad to be stepping back because I could just use the time in my life right now.
200 episodes is quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's
you can concentrate on this one more.
That is true. That is actually true.
So. I can promise you Hearthstone will be okay. I can go on my rant some other time, but Hearthstone will be okay. It's not going anywhere, if that makes you feel better.
And you know what? Heroes isn't going anywhere either. I will stand my ground on that one. And I shout out to that community, as always, and always will. But anyway, so check that out if you haven't yet. If you want to listen to an hour and a half of three grown men almost about to cry, because it's what it was for sure, that's the episode for you. But anyway, you can find Brian as well. He's on a couple different things too. He's at R-H-O-W-O-W, Row Wow, on Twitter. He also, of course, does a couple other shows, Realm Maintenance, General Blizzard Podcasting, and then also the Rolling Restart podcast as well. And if you want to help out the show and any of the work that he does, for sure, we'd recommend our Patreon as well, patreon.com/realmpodcast. That helps support this show as well as any of the others that's tied to Brian and his network. So, to reach the show for sure, you can follow us on Twitter at HearthCasual. You can email us with feedback or questions at hearthcasual@gmail.com. And if you want to help with the show, really, other than the Patreon, the other main way you could do it is to leave a positive review, you know, 5-star iTunes. If you liked hearing Maple, want to hear from her again, you know, let us know for sure. But again, anyway, thanks once more. I think I just said again away. I was trying to say again or anyway, but it
works.
Said both. And again, anyway, thanks for joining us once more. It's been a blast.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Always happy to talk with you.
All right. So for Brian Black and Maple, this is Kevin Ellis reminding you that when Ragnaros the Fire Lord heard about the Blizzard layoffs, he was soul furious. You get it? Like, so furious?
Yes.
So furious?
Did you come up with that yourself?
No, I Googled it.
Oh, it's
but
okay.
I'm really happy with it.
I like it, yeah.
Okay, good.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.